Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast. Your resting point between quests. Let's join our hosts as we talk about this week's events in Hearthstone Mercenaries.
Welcome to Spirit Healer, a Hearthstone Mercenaries podcast, a podcast focused on taking you through Mercenaries news, updates, and weekly topics to keep you at the top of your Mercenaries game. I'm Dragon Rider, joined as always by my fellow hosts today, just the wonderful Cinder. How are you doing?
I'm so sleepy. I had a nap, an unintentional nap before I got on the show, and I woke up wondering what year it was.
Well, it is good to at least have you back. I know this, these last couple of weeks have just kind of been all over the place for us. A couple of weeks ago you were out, and then last week it just, craziness with schedules and all sorts of stuff. And we're like, well, with that, plus the new mercenary coming out and the new set and all of that, like, we'll just take a quick pause. And then this week stuff came up for Simba. You know, it's kind of just the way things go sometimes this time of year when you've got holidays and school ending and all sorts of crazy stuff. So it's, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, it happens. It's holidays. I mean, if you have any kind of regular shindig, you know that once you hit like the middle of December, all your plans are just, you know, perpetually tenuous. Until you can get past New Year's. So, yeah, you know, it's all good. We got Simba covered. Y'all had me covered last week, so it's all good. Return the favor.
That's right. Well, it is wonderful to have you back. And we've got a couple of changes, but not, I guess, like, so there was a couple of kind of in-game changes. And then, obviously, you know, we alluded to it a couple weeks ago, but... Yes, last week with the set and everything, we also had Vanessa come out with the reward track. But other than those things, like there's not a lot of big news or big stuff going on for mercenaries, but we just had that. So this week is kind of like, it's like, okay, we're just on the other end, on the other side of that content release for mercenaries.
Yeah. I mean, you say it's not a lot, but between Valera and Vanessa, you know, and a couple of quality of life things, I mean, it is a lot. It actually is plenty of things to cover here.
Yeah, it's not quite as much as what Simba and I talked about a couple weeks ago, but, you know, it definitely, there's been a nice pacing, I feel like, with Mercenaries. I kind of hope that continues. I feel like with Battlegrounds, it was a very interesting and still kind of is. I think they're kind of starting to get to their a good pace for their releasing of stuff in Battlegrounds. But I know for a while it was like they'd have a lot of changes really quickly and then like nothing for like 2 months, you know, and then it'd be like, okay, a big change, and like 2 weeks later, a big change, and then it'd be like a month and nothing, and then something, and it's like there's really schedules all over the place. But I feel like the pacing has been fairly consistent with Mercenaries, so that's good news for us, right? For putting out this content and being able to talk about stuff.
Yeah, it's good for the content. It's a little cruel on my free time, though. Like, I'm still trying to get. My initial collection leveled up, and then they're hitting me with Valera, Vanessa, the pirates come out last week. I'm like, slow down. I can't level all these mercs as fast.
Yeah, it kind of is a lot for that. And it's kind of like classic Hearthstone, right? Where like you have the people who kind of buy in at the beginning and they're like, all right, cool, I've got this stuff. And then if you keep up with it, it's easier. Right, if you're like, okay, cool, as soon as I get these mercenaries, I level them up, you're good to go. But as soon as you start to like quote unquote fall behind, it feels really tough to try to catch back up or get everything to where you want.
Yeah, it's I mean, especially, you know, I just started this new job back on the full-time train, and it's just like, Man, I kind of, the only thing I miss about freelancing is just having the free time to goof around whenever I want. Like that pipe dream is gone. I'm back to rationing out my free time, you know, and there's so much cool stuff going on. I mean, you know, obviously this is mercenaries, we're talking about mercenaries, but you know, Fractured and Altaric Valley just came out. So like, you know, I'm opening packs and playing with new cards and getting my quest track going over on that side too. You know, plus, you know, it's holidays, so there's just like all kind of games just dropping everywhere. You know, like I'm, my PayPal account is begging me to stop buying games on the Switch. You know,
yeah, we just don't even talk about things like the Steam accounts, because that's the same no. kind of category, right? Like, did this all the sales? And,
you know, I bought a couple things there too. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yep, know that feeling. Well, let's go ahead and start talking about some of these changes and things that we've alluded to. So, of course, we had, I'm just going to kind of jump to this bullet point, but you know, we already talked about it. Vanessa Van Cleef released with the launch of Altaric Valley because she was part of the reward track. So everybody should have gotten her for free. And if you did buy the Tavern Pass to get the extra stuff, as you level up, you can get more of her portraits. So at least there are some options there. Like, you kind of know what you're going to be getting with that. And we can talk a little bit more in depth about her after we get through some of this other stuff. But there's also been a couple of like bug fixes. They fixed a couple of kind of wonky interactions that were happening with. But apart from those, the couple of kind of changes that were really noted that I felt like we should really talk about, we can kind of go through these one by one. The first thing is the PvP rating. They made a PvP ratings adjustment. So if you play the yep. PvP, then your wins should actually reward you a bit more rating, whereas when you lose, you'll actually lose a little bit less rating. So the hopes there that they put, the intent for this, is to have more people start reaching those top ratings, which is 12K currently at like the high end. That's kind of the legend equivalent. So ideally with, you know, if you're winning, you're going to get more rating for those wins. You lose, you're going to lose less. So hopefully people will actually be able to climb a bit with those ratings. But I haven't really played much of the PvP. Played a little bit here and there, but not really enough to like actually try out this this rating adjustment change yet, because I've been playing so much standard. But have you gotten a chance to really play a lot of PvP lately, or have you noticed some any difference?
I mean, I keep in mind that me playing PvP is I don't get anywhere near that rating number. Like that's a time commitment and a skill level I have not developed yet. But like, you know, I when I saw it, I did have thoughts though, because you know, I come from a chess background. You know, I played chess all the way back when I was 8 years old. And you know, in chess you have the Elo rating. Which is, it's a formula, and it's, you know, it starts at a fixed number and it changes based on whether you win or lose. And it also changes based on the rating of the person against whom you win or lose. So if you beat a higher rated player, your rating goes up more than if you were to beat someone who was rated lower than you. And then the reverse is true. If you lose to a lower rating person, you will lose more points versus if you lose to a higher rated player. So I don't know how the mercenaries MMR works. I don't know how their rating system works. And I can't really like quantify like whether or not this is a good adjustment, because I don't know how it worked before the adjustment either. What I hope is that it's not just a mechanism by way they're just create artificially inflating everyone's rating, because that would stink. What I hope that it is that it's an honestly equitable rise or fall. Like if you have a 50-50 rating, you shouldn't go up or down, right? You know, unless the quality of the opponents affects that. What I'm hoping is that it's not the kind of thing where if everyone's 50-50, everyone rises, because that doesn't make sense. So I hope that's not what they mean by if you win more, you know, if you win, you get more than if you lose, you know, respectively. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll have to see how it plays out. It's going to take a month for it to figure out. Believe me, high level players pay a lot of attention to their rating, and they always have, whether it was, you know, Legend, Standard, Hearthstone or Battlegrounds or this. They'll know. They'll be able to track the differences. So we'll see. We'll see what the end result is. But yeah, I hope it's a fair system. Really is the slug line here.
Yeah, that's totally fair. And I'm really curious. I know Simba is definitely more kind of a fan of the PvP aspect. So
I already miss him.
I know, right? Be like, oh, we need his input here. So hopefully we'll have that next week. But next week is the actual holiday week itself. So who knows? I can't believe it's already that time. I can't get over it. We're already almost through 2021. Like, I don't even know what's happening anymore. What is time?
Anytime somebody's like, oh gosh, what happened to the time? Why is it this day or that day? I'm like, time is a F. Okay. Yeah. And I use the actual word, you know, I'm not going to drop it here, but like, yeah, it messes with your head so bad.
Yes. Well, and especially with, you know, those of us who are like still at home and all that. And, it's been weird. But speaking of that, it's been, wait, what is today? The 13th?
It is the 13th.
Okay.
Well, when the listeners listen to this, it'll probably be like the 15th, but that's
yeah.
Okay.
But it has now been 2 months since Mercenaries launched.
Man.
I know. And we've already had just so many changes, just so many new mercenaries. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, some of the changes, though, I think are really good. And it does sound like they are really listening to feedback from the community. And I think one of those big things is relating to purchasing things in the shop, which is the next kind of bullet point that we have here, which is they made a change to purchases that will now give you new portraits over coins if you own all of something in a certain category. Like, let's say epics. Before, if you had all of the epic mercenaries, you'd get a new one, or you know, you'd open an epic, but it would just give you coins for one of them instead of giving you, you know, something for the epics that you don't have. So they're changing that. So now instead, if you were to open an epic, you'll get a portrait for an epic until you have all of the portraits for all of the epics, and then at that point you'll start getting coins. So it's they kind of like another layer of duplicate protection, which I just think is absolutely fantastic, and I definitely think that was something that was probably very highly requested by the community. So really glad that they made some changes like that.
Yeah, it not just highly requested. I think that was necessary, honestly. I know a few people in our community who had dropped a pretty chunk of change on mercenaries and had essentially full collections minus some portraits, and they just could not get those extra portraits. They just kept getting coin, and it's like once you've maxed out the mercenaries, the coins don't do anything. There's currently not a way to exchange those coins and make them into something else. So having to just constantly dig for portraits, since portraits are basically, you know, treated as cards themselves, they were equivalent to a new mercenary, which is why you couldn't flip one if you had the full collection. They really needed to get that put in place. So I think there's going to be some collectors in the community who are much happier about the state of their collection, because you can always grind for coins. You can't grind for portraits. That's just not a thing, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good way of putting it. Like, you know, you can find coins, but I think they also said that they are looking into or have plans for additional ways to use coins. I don't know what that means exactly yet. We'll see what kinds of things they come up with. But, you know, yeah, just being able to have more options and more ways to get all of the things and not just say, oh, okay, cool, you have all of the rare mercenaries. Well, here's some coins, you know, instead of here's some more of the things for those mercenaries. Yeah.
And, you know, that just with them constantly updating things and checking in on stuff like that, it feels like, it really feels like they're building the plane while it's flying, you know? Like, it's, this sucker's gone. Like, it has launched and it is going, and they are doing everything in their power to make sure that it, you know, it stays fresh, which is great. So, you know, I hope that this keeps people engaged in the game, because these little, you know, these minor things matter a lot, especially for if you're the kind of person who's engaging in the content every single day, you notice these kind of things like, gosh, I can't do anything with these extra coins in my account. Well, they're going to do something about that, which is fantastic. Like, I would love to see some kind of exchange system, you know, similar to dusting or what have you, to be able to get people some value out of their time and money that they've poured in the accounts.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And, you know, it's interesting you bring up like small changes and stuff, because that's kind of the next point. But I definitely thought this one was interesting because, okay, so the next point is they have adjusted Sky Admiral Rogers' fire position damage at the rank 5 level from 20 to 25. And we just talked a couple of minutes ago. Sky Admiral Rogers just came out like 2 weeks ago, if even,
right?
A week and a half ago, you know, like, and they're already making those little adjustments. So that, I feel like, is just, that's fantastic to see, right? It's like they're working on it. They're not kind of dinking around with it. They're like, okay, we're gonna bump this up. And, you know, 5 damage might not seem like a lot, but maybe it's good enough. Just that 5 damage is good enough to at least bump it up just a hair, so that it makes it feel better.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the adjustments they've made previous to this were like 1s and 2s and 3s. So, you know, 5 feels like a lot. I haven't really, I haven't played with Rogers yet. Cause you know, just reading on the, you know, just the armchair analysis, she feels a little specific, like matchup specific. So I haven't really noodled around with her, but, be curious to see if that makes a difference in like her rate of play, you know, across the board.
Yeah. I haven't really seen a lot of people talking about her, or like, I don't know, really wanting to play with Sky Admiral. But, you know, it's fine. It may be one that just ends up being more like PvP or play style as well, as opposed, or PvE instead of PvP. Mm-hmm. You know, like if people open it, then cool.
I mean, I've got her. She's hanging out. Just gotta get around to, like, I'm still trying to level, you know, like Tavish is like level 28. Like, I'm still working on the backlog, but yeah, like but then again, you know, I know we're going to talk about Valyria in a bit. There are definitely some mercs that come out and are more of a priority, you know, just because their performance level.
Yeah. I'm not really sure how Sky Admiral fits into that. I don't think,
right.
Very high, but you know, we do have,
you know you're not going to use every mercenary. I mean, I guess it's,
yeah,
not every single thing is going to be perfectly balanced all the time. Like, that seems almost like an impossible task, but
yeah,
you know, she's there for, you know, she has a very specific niche, you know, against pirates, and if pirates were to get a little out of control, you know, and there's Sky Admiral Rogers, you know, there to help.
Kind of interesting too. So I'm gonna read this is the base. So this is not at level 5, but it does damage in AoE damage to all enemies that have already acted. So at that rank 5 now, if you have it leveled up, this is the third ability. Just to make it a little bit more, like, if you're more visual, it's the third ability here. So at that 20, or at that rank 5 now, you'll deal 25 damage to all enemies that have already acted. It does have a speed of 6 and a 1-turn cooldown, so it's slightly slower. But, I guess, depending on like the speeds of everything else. Maybe if you want to do some big AoE damage, if people are running warbands that are very fast, maybe this can do something as well.
Which is literally everyone, you know.
Yeah.
Speed control is like the name of the game, and like,
yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of interesting to see a mercenary ability that actually rewards you for going last, you know, because you know there's that Kotobane fight where you really have to manage whether or not you're going before or after Kotobane. So you know there's incentive built in to actually have a merc that's slower, or you know, and not be racing to the bottom of the initiative count. So that's cool. I do like that, you know. And with mercenaries like that, the question becomes, how do you utilize that without just getting killed? You know, like if you know you're gonna activate this ability last, how do you make sure you don't just get focused down? You know, it's a tough balancing act. This is something that like came up a lot in Pokemon, because in Pokemon there was a lot more granularity on, you know, a particular Pokemon's a durability, you know, a number of hit points and stuff. Mercenaries is not so granular. It's, you know, on a large scale, like two or three attacks kills just about anything, you know. Doesn't matter how high, there's no armor or anything like that, you know. It's just everybody's got somewhere between 60 and 75 hit points. So, you know, the differences and stuff is those like 2, 3, 4, 5 point damage differences matter a lot, you know. So keeping her alive to be able to go last and get the AoE is the challenge.
Yeah, I mean, she's a little bit on that lower side of health.
Yeah.
So yeah, keeping her alive is important, which I guess is kind of where you get those combos. But you know, I am not quite as good at coming up with like the PvP kind of stuff. I haven't delved as deeply this last like month or so into the PvP aspect as I'd like to, but just want to give a shout out to one of our listeners, Ronan. He delves into that PvP very, very, very hard, and he is now, as of today, Monday, when we're recording this, he has entered into the top 20 on the Mercenaries PvP leaderboard, and we have a link to that Twitter post if you want to check out. He posted like his warband, and there's actually like a YouTube video because he does some streaming and he's been putting out content there, so definitely recommend following him and checking out what he's been doing. But yeah, kudos to him, because that is definitely a lot of work. Like you said, yeah. there's a lot of like grinding.
Spoiler, it's Valera. It's all Valera. It's the Valera show. She's nutty.
Yeah. She is so strong. Like, that's so we kind of wanted to talk a bit about her as part of our main topic. But okay.
Just get to it.
Yeah. So that was it basically that we had for like any kind of updates, or I don't even want to say patch notes because they weren't really patch notes, but any like adjustment things, new releases, like that was it. We had the new mercenary come out with Vanessa, and we had those couple of fixes. But yeah, the big kind of hotness lately has been everybody using Valera. And I've seen multiple people like posting on Twitter, and these are people who are very into the PvP. They are just, I mean, I'm pretty sure I've even seen a couple people saying that she probably needs to be toned down.
Yeah. Yeah, man, let's walk through her card. Do you have her card handy?
Yeah. So
Yeah,
and I know a couple of weeks ago, so our last like actual recorded episode, Simba and I kind of walked through this, and we were talking about how she did sound very good, but I don't think we anticipated how good she was going to be. So her first ability here, Sinister Strike, she gains attack during the turn and then attacks the lowest health enemy. This is a 3-speed ability, And if you combo it, she also then gains stealth. So yes, you're going to have an ability used from another mercenary that's faster than this to be able to get the combo effect. But getting that stealth combo is very, very impactful, because then this leads into like her next ability, which is ambush, and it deals some damage. But if the merc was stealthed, so if she was stealthed, she deals even more damage. And then her final ability, Fan of Knives, she deals some AoE damage to all enemies, and your other mercs have faster speed. They have an increased speed for the next turn. Oh my gosh. So those are the abilities. We can look through the equipment in a minute here too, but it's just, it's incredibly powerful. You talked already about how we've seen this in other games like Pokemon and, you know, talking about like, okay, you know, the last effect for Sky Admiral, just speed, being able to increase. And this is your other mercs. So there is also one thing to note with this Fan of Knives ability as well, if you do end up using this, is that it's just your other mercs are, however, much faster. This impacts even if like a new merc comes out onto the board after you've already used this. That's right. That's so impactful.
Yeah, it's that next turn trickery that mm-hmm. gets you, you know. And she's... Sinister Strike is a speed 3, you know, so on paper your initial thought is like, you got a combo a speed 3, that's rough. It's not as hard as you think. There's, you can pretty easily build a good comp, a very complimentary warband around that speed 3 combo. It's not that hard, and once we get to the equipment, it'll make a lot more sense why.
Yeah. So let me run through the equipment then here. So the complete task 8 ability, which is the first one that's the far left, is Shadow Dagger. Ambush gains Death Blow, gains Stealth. Okay, so ambush is that dealing damage, and if it was stealth, you deal more. So Okay, you can use that, and then if you kill whatever you hit with damage, you gain stealth from it. The middle equipment here is for level 30, and it's Hidden Paths. It's a passive. Whenever a friendly character loses stealth, you give them additional attack. Okay. I feel like that one is kind of just like, meh, whatever.
It's a little meh, yeah.
Yeah. but the third equipment you get after completing task 3, and it's called Unnatural Smoke. It's a passive. While this merc has stealth, friendly characters are a speed faster. That's for the base level. But okay, so you can have this merc stealthed, giving your other characters faster speed, which makes it easier to combo things like the Sinister Strike to keep giving it stealth, or use it with like Fan of Knives to deal some AoE damage and make your mercs next turn even faster.
Even faster, yes. Now here's the rub, okay? The top level of Unnatural Smoke at rank 4, it makes all friendly characters 4 speed faster. Okay, and there is a basement to speed. You cannot go faster than 0. So anything that's 3 or 4 is 0 when Unnatural Smoke is active. That's the trick right there. So you have Sinister Strike at a 3, but now you can pair it with any merc that has a speed 4 ability. And since you resolve your own ties by activating your mercs in order, the order that you want them to resolve in, you can make the speed 4 stuff combo with Sinister Strike at 3 because they're both going at 0. And since Valyra is stealthed, they can't do anything about it. You know, it's not like you can just flip, you know, take her off the field and, you know, fix the speed problem. This is, everything's just 4 speed faster, period. End of sentence, you know, and all the while you can sit there and buff Valyra at will. You can just or, you know, if you feel like you have to, you know, use one of the other abilities, you can, you know, kick, you know, get rid of the stealth and get the bonuses for ambush, and yeah, just nutty, just totally, totally bananas. Gosh, yeah, I've been watching some high level players stream this Sinister Strike Unnatural Smoke combination, and just my goodness, like, what are we gonna do? So the adjustment that seems to be going around is just change a natural smoke to 3-speed faster so that you're not getting the speed 4 stuff to combo with it. Like, that would help immensely, because there's so many ways to combo it with, like, speed 4 abilities. Like, the one that I see a lot is Cariel Roam with Seal of Light, because Seal of Light gives you +5 attack and extra health. +13, I think, when it's maxed out. Or I think that's not quite maxed out.
Yeah, her Seal of Light gives +6 attack and restores 15 health.
At
5.
So you're getting a permanent attack bonus on Valyra, plus healing her in the off chance that she took some AoE damage, or maybe from like a King Crush or something, attacking the lowest health person on the board. So it's, you know, that can combo. That's a speed 4. That can combo with Sinister Strike when Unnatural Smoke is active, because they're both 0. So yeah, it's cool, because it's creating this space where people are being very creative and coming up with some really wild builds based on this particular interaction. But that's also kind of leading people to believe that maybe we should probably tone it down a little bit.
Yeah, and like you were saying, it's fairly easy to stealth her, and it almost seems like,
yeah,
you can keep her stealth for a while. And if you want to actually keep her stealth, to keep maybe using like the Fan of Knives ability for faster ability, like, you don't even have to attack with her, right? You can just kind of keep her stealth and not attack, and she just stays stealthed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like, it just adds to the, okay, how am I going to deal with this? And like you said, it's, you can't do much. So one way to answer her or deal with her is to try to just incorporate more AoE abilities. But generally, the AoEs are either kind of weak or they're a little bit slower and more expensive. So then you run into that problem that you were talking about earlier of like, well, if you run into a slower ability that you're trying to use, you got to make sure that mercenary doesn't die before it's able to pull off the ability that you're wanting to use. And if there's a turn cooldown, and then you're like, okay, well, now what do I do? And your opponent has Valyra plus these other minions that are just, they're all going first, right? Like,
yep.
Because the speed's increased.
Yeah. And there's some pushback from, you know, things like Karen and other speed adjusting characters. Karen especially, just because since Earth Stomp is an AoE speed debuff, which can help, right, correct the issue. But you get into a situation where you've got so many like speed buffs and speed penalties going on between both sides of the field. It's hard to keep track of, you know, and if you're trying to do this all in your head without the assistance of a tracker or anything, it's a lot. And it can be very easy to make a mistake. And like, that's where like the really good players get to rise above the middle of the pack, because they can do that kind of quick math, those quick calculations in their heads. Because I tell you what, I can't. I can barely make change at the store. Okay, I can't keep up with all these speed combos.
Well, and then you get into things like if there's a chance for ties. Right, then you got to think, okay, well, what mm-hmm. if my opponent's mercenary wins the tie and goes first, and how does that affect things? Yeah, I mean, it's very layered. There's definitely a lot of depth to it, which I think is one reason why we also haven't seen a lot of people pushing as high, because like I do think there's a lot more depth with like PvP pushes and putting these together than a lot of people give it credit for. And it's easy to just be like, okay, yeah, I'm not putting in the effort to, you know, to climb to 10k or 12k raiding and in PvP. It's like, nah, I'm good. And
and you don't want to discourage people, right? Like, you don't want to make people feel like it's inaccessible. We want the game to be accessible. And, you know, while as I'm talking about that, I want to bring this up. This is a peeve that I'm picking. I'm picking a bone with you all over there. You listening, community managers? I know who you are. So whenever they release a new mercenary, that usually comes with some new PvE content, right? So we got Nefarian, right, added to Black Rock Mountain, and those end of game kind of content. And the only boss right now that drops Valyra coins is Nefarian. And if you are a casual or just player or somebody who just doesn't dedicate that much time to the game, having Valyra coins locked behind the most difficult end of game PvE content that is already behind a bunch of other difficult PvE content, that can make stuff like Valyra feel really hard to access. And that kind of goes into what you're saying, Dawn, where like people just some people are going to hit a wall there and not want to bother with it. You know, like it's a heck of a lot easier to go back and run, you know, Fellwood 3 Fallen Guardians and grind out Malfurion coins at like, you know, level 23 than it is to hit Nefarian, you know, with a totally maxed out, tweaked up warband that can consistently beat that boss. You know, and it's like that for a number of mercenaries. You got Edwin is behind Rend Blackhand, and only behind Rend Blackhand. And again, that's not an easy fight. You know, obviously you can go look up a comp that is consistent against that character, but that only assumes that someone is that connected to the game and to the community that they know where to go to look up that kind of information, and assumes that they have all the correct mercs leveled up to max in order to make that warband. So it's, you know, I appreciate that they're trying to get, you know, to put, you know, new stuff behind other new stuff so that you're encouraged to continue to play the game. But the fact that this is the only one boss that unlocks Valyra coins, and Rend is the only one that unlocks Edwin coins, and I'm sure they're not going to be the last ones where they do this, that feels bad to players who are trying to grind this out on a free-to-play account.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is also something that we've seen before with, or I guess not seen before. I should say the other way around. Like, I've seen talk of this before, but there's basically that extra layer that Mercenaries has above the Constructed or the other game modes, right? Where, like you said, people have to have the merc, so they're either getting it in a pack or they're somehow collecting enough coins to craft it. But then they also have to put time into leveling the merc, unlocking the equipment with tasks and that stuff, and then be able to actually play it from there. Whereas, you know, when you're building a deck, all you have to do is open the cards in a pack, throw it in the deck, and then you can just start playing and practicing it. There's no, like, you don't have to level up the, you know, your cards, like Phylactery for Warlock, right? You don't have to unlock that in a pack and then go level it up before you can do your Owl OTK combo, right? So, you know, there's kind of that extra step, that extra layer, that extra process that players have to go through in order to really be able to use these. And yeah, it's a lot harder, and that's just an additional barrier for people who aren't opening a lot of packs. Because, yeah, then how are they really supposed to get the coins? They just hope they get random coins. And, you know, I'm looking at it. Valyra is the legendary, and Edwin was a legendary, if I recall correctly, as well. So, yeah, for those legendaries, I mean, I guess I see the logic there of, like, okay, these are legendaries. Let's, you know, it should be a little more rewarding, perhaps, to get those coins. But at the same time, it's kind of like what you're saying, where, well, yeah, these are legendaries, but they're so good and people want to play them, and it's that much harder for them to actually get to get her and level her up. Of course, we don't know any of like the behind the scenes numbers of how many people actually have her, how many people have leveled her up, how many people are playing, and how many people are really focusing on PvE versus how many people are just kind of more casually playing. We don't know any of that stuff, but that still is another thing to factor in with, you know, maybe by the time that they make changes to Valyra, some people who are maybe only getting a couple packs at a time, or, you know, they weren't able to get a bunch of pre-orders and now they're trying to catch up, they might not even have Valyra, or they might be starting to work on her and then she's going to end up getting potentially changed. And it's like, well,
Yeah, you know, and because there's mercenaries. Okay, let me start with a different phrase here. Hearthstone as a whole has the advantage, has the appeal of there being many ways to play the game. Like, if you only want to play Arena, anybody can do that. That is 100% doable, no matter what kind of gamer you are. You can always just play Arena. You can always just play Battlegrounds, which is one of the reasons why Battlegrounds is so popular, because it's immediately accessible to everyone. So it's a level playing field. Yeah, standard Hearthstone, a little bit different, because, you know, you have to, you know, get a collection going, but there are budget decks. There are ways to stay competitive in the standard environment, and for that matter, in the wild environment, by just having, you know, budget decks versus, you know, or versus, you know, the crazy combos decks that are really dust expensive and require multiple legendaries. That's always been the case. Like, I climb ladder with like 2,000 and 3,000 dust decks. That's just almost all rares and commons. So it's doable. But when you get to mercenaries and you say, gosh, well, I really want Valyra because Valyra is the thing right now, or maybe whatever the new powerful card is. If the only way I can get that card or get the currency to get that card is to have a very specific build of mercenaries to go after one specific PvE grind, or, you know, maybe one of a few different kinds of builds, that's a whole different game, because now first I have to collect that warband, level that warband, and then I got to grind that PvE content until I get enough coins to drop. And that's gonna, what the perception that creates is that you're pushing people towards the store to use money, like real money, to buy Valyra. You don't want that to be the case. You want it to be an option. You want it to be a shortcut. But this is a little too difficult of a path to have as a reasonable alternative to just dropping real money on her. So I hope that they can find ways to make coins for new mercenaries a little more accessible and not have them locked behind the gatekeepers of like Nefarian.
Yeah, and it's something that we've talked about before too, is also that with this kind of logic of, I don't think they really want to be going in the direction of nerfing mercenaries. They really have kind of shown they want to be buffing and trying to raise the level of mercenaries that maybe aren't being played as much. So that kind of factors in too. If you have a really strong mercenary like Valyra that we're seeing that everybody's using, they did end up kind of nerfing Karn a little bit, right? We talked about that. That happened before the big invitational, the global invitational. But other than that, it really does seem like they don't want to go in that direction. So if they are, then it feels like it makes a little bit of sense if they try to make it easier for people to get all of the mercenaries.
Yeah, because what they don't want to do is they want to fall into the trap of, okay, we created this very powerful mercenary, and again, you have to go through this very specific route to access that content without spending real money, and then nerf that card and have it become not as attractive a thing to pursue. You know, like how bad would it feel when you're at 489 coins for Valyra and then she gets nerfed, right? Like, that would feel pretty bad, too. And I think that's what they're trying to avoid. They don't want to put people in that position either. So, like, I understand the challenge for sure. But, yeah, like, to me, the answer is make this content a little more accessible to people.
Yeah, it's a difficult line to walk, I think. And yeah. I feel like I say this a lot, but it's like, I do not really envy them, because that does feel like a very tough spot to be in. Especially with this just being so new, and there are games that are kind of similar to this, but they really are trying to put that Hearthstone spin on it. I feel like this is still more of a viable option for free-to-play players than some other games that are maybe similar to this. You do have to, you know, sacrifice. There's more of that time element to actually grind things out and level things up. But yeah, it's a fine line to walk, I think, and it's kind of interesting and challenging at the same time.
Yeah, like, what is the perfect balance between time and money spent to make the game equally accessible to either one? Yeah, like, how much dollars is your time worth? You know, that's the X that's being solved for all the time with these kind of freemium games.
Yes. Freemium. I haven't heard that freemium before. I like that.
Yeah. I think that's the buzzword, right? With the free to play. It's free to play, but
yeah. Yeah. Well, I do like the idea of Vanessa. I know we mentioned it.
Yeah.
You know, again, shout out and thank you to the Blizzard team and Alkali, because getting to work together as a crew here to put out the post and reveal the sweet, sweet Vanessa Van Cleef artwork was just super awesome. That was such a yes. cool thing. And, you know, because of that, there's like, Vanessa has like a special place in my heart. And I'm like, oh, I want her to be no. so good now, you know, like, because we got to do that. So I hoped I would see more people playing her and talking about her, but I haven't yet.
I know. Yeah. And let me go ahead and, you know, just hold up some hot coals to their feet right after they gave us something to, so, you know, a reward for the content creation. Like, no. We're trying to, you know, be honest in our assessment of things. We still love the game, obviously. Yeah. I really do love Vanessa's concept. That steal the attack mechanic is so clever. It's tough to use, though. Like, yeah. her abilities are, she's slow. She's pretty slow. So it's tricky to get her to function.
Yeah. Yeah. Her abilities are pretty slow. And like you said, that's a big thing. But also another thing is that, at least so far in my experience playing her, man, she's got a really low health. She just has a low health, I feel like, compared to other mercs. And it's like that same problem, right? She dies before you really get to use her abilities.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really it. Like, you know, I really want to get this combo off, but she's dead.
Yeah. But like you said, I completely agree, though. The concept of, like, stealing attack, using that attack to deal damage to the enemies, like, the flavor and the concept is just absolutely amazing. And I love her. I'm going to keep testing her out and trying some different things. But we'll see how it goes. It's probably not going to work out very well in PvP, as we've talked about with, like, Valyra has definitely, taken that seat, but yeah. I hope I can figure something out with Vanessa.
I mean, once Vanessa's all the way leveled up, like, it's not impossible to get her moving, because the Dreadblades 4, the highest tier of that first equipment, makes the attack stealing ability all the way down to speed 3, and it always combos. So it basically always works. So that part, like, so you can, if you get her all the way leveled up, like, you can at least make that more consistent. But then, you know, her third ability, Shifting Satchel, is still speed 5, which is middling. In the plus, don't get me wrong, the plus 1 cooldown thing is so cool. Like, that is such a neat way to reward you for, you know, having a slower speed. But yeah, like, I mean, she's got 75 health. That's not that low, I guess. But she's also got no way to restore health. A lot of fighters, or excuse me, a lot of protectors usually have a way to, you know, restore health or reduce damage, and she doesn't have any of that. She's a red that plays a little bit more like a green, you know.
Yeah. But we'll see. I really like her. We got to reveal the artwork. The artwork's amazing. The concept of her is super cool. So I'm gonna keep trying her out and hopefully can really get something to work. I don't know. I'm gonna try something. Maybe she'll work better with some other stuff that comes out later.
Well, we'll do this. We'll say listener challenge. Send us some Vanessa Van Cleef compositions, some warbands that include and focus on Vanessa, and we'll try them out. We'll see what we can make happen. Because she's too darn cool, and she's basically our baby.
Exactly. Yes. We'll post that challenge with the tweet that goes live when this episode actually launches. So if you're looking at that as well, but if you're listening, definitely would love to see some cool Vanessa Van Cleef stuff. If you've gotten to use her, if you send us something, we'd love to give you a shout out on the show as well. Talk about it. We'd love to highlight people in the community. So if you've done something, let us know. And let's just jump into our closing then with that. So you can find the show on YouTube, everywhere that you can find audio podcasts, and on Twitter at Spirit Healer Pod. So you can send us the, you know, screenshots, clips, anything like that there, or just some text message. Or you can send us an email at spirithealerpodcast@gmail.com. And join in the discussions in our Discord as well. Jump in that Discord, share your thoughts there as well. And we just want to thank Purple Cat for the use of the amazing music that we use for the show. And to find more from each of us, you can find me on Twitter at DonnieDK. That's DawnieDK. On Twitch and YouTube at DragonRiderDK. And then also every week talking everything standard Hearthstone over at the Dr. 3HS podcast. And where can folks find more from you, Cinder?
Well, you know, before me, don't forget Simba. I know you weren't going to, but I just want to put him first. So Simba is pretty much everywhere at SimbaTV_ with two eyes. He's the king of wholesome content. Please go check him out. My own Twitter is at Cinder Ascendant, where I just talk of it's a milieu of topics. Not the least of which is mercenaries and Hearthstone in general, but games, card flipping, social justice, you name it. I'm talking about it.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, I'm just going down our list, keeping things in the same order that I always do, because I'm, you know, even with it written down and in the same order, I still somehow screw it up. But yes, please also go and check out Simba's stuff. Like that one week, I just totally like jacked up everything. It was fun.
Blurp.
But
yeah.
But yeah, Simba's been doing a whole lot, and I saw he did like a thread post on Twitter as well, kind of talking about some of his plans and things he really wants to do with his content across his stream and YouTube for next year. So he's really focused. He's really in on it. So tons to come from him. Definitely go check out everything that he does. And, you know, I think that's going to do it for this week, Cinder.
Just last thing, just to note, if you didn't see the tweet or you didn't listen to the little announcement, we're going to be recording on Mondays going forward. And, we'll be dropping on Tuesday, Wednesday-ish for now. So be a little earlier in your commute listen or wherever you listen to us.
Yes, definitely. Thank you. Good reminder. Yeah, so if you are seeing this in your audio feeds a day or two earlier than you are used to, that is why we will be recording a little earlier. It's something that we talked about this before we even start recording any episodes. And yeah, things have just changed around with schedules and all that kind of stuff. So we've kind of shifting gears a little bit, but we'll try our best recording before. Oftentimes they're going to put out patch notes and stuff, but we'll do our best to keep things, as current as we can and really keep you all updated on what's going on. So, you know, we already plugged everywhere you can find info. We definitely, especially in the Discord, we dump a lot of like updates and articles and news and things like that. So if you want an even more current update, make sure you join us in there. But otherwise, thank you for choosing us as your resting place of choice. We'll see you next week.
Podcast done.